Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
I've got a song, I ain't got no melody. I'm gonna sing it to my friends. I've got a song, I ain't got no melody. I'm gonna sing it to my friends. When I go round and circle, when they fly high like a bird up in the sky, when they go down in circles,
cause it's Pi Day. Cause it's Pi Day. Come on, we gotta celebrate math once in a while.
That's out there, man.
What does he mean that's out there?
That's a little outside.
Is it? Is it March 14th? Is 3.1415926 day? Come on. Come on, celebrate. Pi R squared. Formula for area, diameter pi, formula for circumference, one of the most important mathematical, maybe the most important mathematical constant. Okay, all right, you know, it's an, what is it? It's not an irrational number. What is it? It's an infinite non-repeating decimal. So anyway, we'll move on. I'm just saying, you may hear some circle songs today because we like to celebrate nerds. And I don't know, pi is barely even a nerd qualifier. All right, so there is a video that was done by an organization called Georgia Transparency, where they showed up to Pensacola City Hall and did, I don't know, what's the word I want to describe here? Really obnoxious, terrible, embarrassing things. The idea was that they would show up at City Hall and they would show the world. And I guess they do this other places. I didn't bother looking to see. But show the world how hard it is for the public to get access to the public City Hall.
PT and the J-Town Press went hot in Pensacola, Florida, and visited the City Hall.
Oh, yeah. These guys sound like experts.
It was a pain trying to access City Hall, and security did not help whatsoever. The security up front said some things I could not really understand and kept going around in circles. I seriously believe this security guard could have possibly been under the influence of something. Some of the statements the guard made no sense whatsoever at all. After reviewing the footage, I could not help myself and continued laughing.
Okay, now, to his credit, he didn't know it was Pi Day coming, but he did say going around in circles. He's like he was quoting the music. And, look, I draw no conclusions, but I will say that I have to concur a little bit in his assessment of the security guard that he interacted with. It was not a person that I knew, and the security person at the front desk at City Hall was not great.
Not
which is
sober.
I hate to, I mean, you know, people have their jobs and they do their things, and I don't, you know, there are people, and I don't want to be that guy on the radio, but just if we're looking at it objectively, well, you'll see in a minute. Anyway, the intro goes on.
However, the police chief was pretty decent, and the Pensacola Police Department tried to help as much as possible. This was to check out the Pensacola City Hall and see where your tax dollars are going. Let's check out the Pensacola City Hall.
Now, you got to understand, the basic premise here is this is a public building. We should be able to go wherever the public is allowed to go. And City Hall, of course, for years now has had a policy in place, since Ashton Hayward at least, that you go in the front, and they've had varying degrees of enforcement over the years. But basically, if you're going to go anywhere other than the first and second floor, you got to have a hall pass. You got to sign in, you've got to have an appointment, or somebody in a department on a floor, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, has got to allow you to come up. And then they give you a floor 6 pass, and you go ride the elevator up to floor 6, and you go do your business, and you get records, or if you've got an appointment with the mayor, or with the city council member, or with the, you know, it's a partially secure facility. And it's not all that emphatic about the security. You know, there's a metal detector when you go in the east side. They don't use that except for when there's big things going on. Typically, you walk in the front and there's a security person there at the desk. And if you go up the stairs, they may or may not ask you to say hello or log in. It just, you know, it's pretty lax unless you get on the elevator, in which case, you know, you've got to have permission. Okay, that's the backdrop. So these folks are going, and their goal is to provoke and irritate and be obnoxious, and they're all that. And yet in the beginning, they were kind of pretty mild, and they encountered security guard Henry, who, again, let me just say, I think he's probably new on the job. I think he probably got put in a little bit of an awkward, you know, somebody comes at you with a camera and it can freak you out. But, well, it didn't go great for Henry.
Hello, welcome to City Hall. I'm security Henry Stromans. How can I help with service? You got a point for everything?
Yeah.
If you go in the elevator without permission, you will be arrested.
Oh, really?
Just give me a heads up. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, this is a mayor office. It's not like public demand to get the office.
The way it works is I hit the button and it opens
the
up.
The badge, you got to have a visitor pass.
Oh.
All right, let me call the cops, but
because she was trying to go into the elevator. Now, he kept trying to just de-escalate and back up and be friendly, and it wasn't really working, but also he was kind of super unclear in the way he was explaining the process and what they needed to do.
I need to go put in a public records request.
Yeah, that's fine.
How do I do that?
You sign in to do a public record request.
Okay.
And I let you...
Oops, sorry.
I mean... Wait. First off, public record for what? Because it's not a record place.
You know, it says public records right there.
No,
it actually kind of is a records place. Unfortunately, that's one of the main things people might go to City Hall to do is get, solve, pay for, provide, file documents, whatever.
It's like permits, property, city, because it's city domain. So it's a county. This is the kind of question you have to give me. To let you know that you're able to. Does that make sense?
No.
All right. This is not Alabama. This is not Georgia. This is Florida. This is City of Pensacola. So if you want a public request, we need to know what kind of public record you're trying to request. Because we don't have all records. We're not Google.
Oh.
Okay. So by the way, this video is like 40 minutes long. I did watch it all. It is not worth watching. I will tell you, it is. You know how you ever watch a movie where you're like, man, they managed to cram a 20-minute movie into 3 hours? That's kind of this. This is about a 6-minute video that they managed to cram into 35 minutes or whatever. But okay, I'll play you some more.
You usually always have a badge to say press and all this stuff. We don't care.
Do you have a badge to practice your free speech?
Not necessarily, but you want to go upstairs. You want to go use the elevator. You have to have access. The badge is...
What about the stairs? Can I use the stairs and not the elevator?
Yeah, you can use the stairs for exercise.
Second floor, though.
But if you up there just wandering, we don't allow that.
But can't you wander in a public area?
Yes, but you got to have an escort.
You got to have an escort in public?
No, you got to have an escort to use the elevator.
Isn't the elevator public?
Okay, look. Just because... something is publicly owned does not mean that every member of the public is lawfully able to go into that place at their discretion with no controls over that area by, for example, a government official. I mean, there's lots of, I'll give you a fairly simple example. Is the airport publicly owned? Have you ever tried to go walk out on the runway? Can you? No. Why? Well, that is a public area, and I have a right as a member of the public to go into public areas owned by the taxpayer. No, dummy, you don't. There are all kinds of places that are publicly owned that you cannot just go because you think that you're entitled to go somewhere. Now, where they get into a little bit of a philosophical, I don't know, not gray area necessarily, but just it's interesting is because members of the public are allowed to go to some portions of City Hall, does that therefore mean that they can go there in a completely unregulated and unrestricted way? And again, the answer is no. You know, reasonableness is usually the guiding principle of the law, and there's a reasonableness question here. Like, for example, if you go to the county commission chambers, you go to attend a county commission meeting, you go into the county building, you're going to go through a metal detector, okay? Well, why should you have to go through a metal detector and, you know, get searched in order to go... because that's a reasonable security measure. Well, doesn't the public have the right to go anywhere? Well, yes, within reason. And you can be trespassed off the property if you don't behave, if you don't conduct yourself appropriately, if you're disruptive to the governmental body that's in their proceedings. I mean, there are all kinds of restrictions and limits on what you can and cannot do in terms of gaining access to areas that are owned by the government, and then how you continue to be justified in having that access. So having to sign in and then getting a floor-targeted hall pass, so to speak, is a very reasonable restriction on just letting anybody anytime go anywhere in City Hall, because it used to be that way, and they decided that maybe in this world that's not such a good idea. So back to our friend security guard Henry.
This is my job.
The other lady is with the cameras upstairs.
Yeah, but like, this is my job. This is what I do. You let me know who you are. You want to come and have access.
Are you a law enforcement officer?
I can be. You want me to?
I don't know.
Law enforcement. I got the radio right here.
No, I mean, are you? Do you have like arrest powers? And
No, I don't have arrest power. But
then you're not law enforcement.
I do have jurisdiction to be on security. So you,
oh, no, I'm not
arguing. Are you telling me, do I need to get law enforcement up here and have them to tell you?
I don't need law enforcement.
Then let me know what you need, Russ. That's what I'm at.
I just told you what I needed.
You want to get records for what?
About the city of Pensacola.
So, like I say, and apparently this group, I guess, it just kind of goes around looking for confrontation, of course, no surprise. And I'm sure there are other places where it gets handled much more poorly. And actually, I think, generally speaking, city staff caught in a situation where they're kind of, what is happening here? And even the police officers did very well, I'm sure, compared to many other places. There was no violence. Nobody got laid hands on. Nobody got arrested. You know, there was a little bit of a tense moment where they had gotten up the elevator, but they went to like the wrong floor on purpose when somebody else was with them, and it was a bit confusing what was actually happening. But basically, they were getting told to get back toward the elevator by one employee who was willing to be like, look, you can't be here. This is not within our security protocols. You need to go. And of course, she's like, well, you're going to make me, you know, because she's wanting to fight. This is another woman. There were two of them that were there.
If you're not supposed to be up here, this is a private floor. Can you please go this way?
And he's trying to lead her back to the elevator.
I am working.
Oh, okay. That looked like it.
Well, if you don't have the appropriate badge, you're not supposed to be up here.
I do, sir.
We don't need those stinking badges.
Yes, you do.
Actually, you do. So all the floors, they're secure.
Yes,
so
obviously the chief of police are explaining.
Correct.
They're all
in
public.
So did you go downstairs and check in at the first floor? I don't have to answer that question. Did you check in at the first floor?
What'd you say?
Yeah.
Lieutenant Dane?
Why are you being rude? That's rude.
I'm not being rude.
Don't engage.
So you can tell, I don't know if it's a little hard to hear, but you know, she's saying, we don't need no stinking badges, you know, who are you, Dan? Oh, you're Lieutenant Dan. Like, they're trying to be jerks about it, which is, of course, you know, part of the MO here, to, you know, to create clicks or whatever they do. There was a couple of parts, I mean, actually it happened that because of a staff meeting, you had the chief of police, Eric Randall, was actually in the building, and they wandered into the staff meeting at one point and were basically told, yeah, this is not a meeting for the public, but they were interacting with the chief, and the chief was great. You know, he was just basically telling them, hey, this is kind of how this works, and this is what you need to do, and he was very de-escalatory, which is exactly what he's supposed to do, and they were wanting to bicker with him about the Constitution.
Is that the law?
Yeah.
Well, but you're a law enforcement, not policy enforcement.
That's policy.
I don't care what the policy is.
For security purposes.
I don't care what the policy is. It's a public building.
All right. So, I mean, it's still a public building. So
can I ask you something?
Go ahead.
It's not called freedom if you have to ask for permission, correct?
Well, it's still, even though if it's freedom, you still have to get permission to do something.
You're the chief.
So, like, hey, can I exercise my rights, the First Amendment?
You're the chief of police. Yeah. And so, you're the chief of police in Pensacola, so can you answer me a question? Mm-hmm. Is that since when did city council pass a law that you got to have permission to enter a public space because that law would supersede the Constitution? And I didn't know the city council was that powerful. So is there a law that your policy supersedes the Constitution?
Nobody has denied you access to it.
Well,
you ever talk to like a first-year law student who thinks they've become a Supreme Court justice because they got, you know, 15 credit hours of law, and that's kind of what these folks remind me of. They're wrong in all kinds of ways, but they were nonviolent, and eventually they kind of got shuffled out, and they did their video, and, you know, a couple thousand people have watched it or liked it or whatever, and I thought we ought to talk about it. We'll talk about this with Mike Wood this morning at 7:35 a little bit, because I think generally, you know, city staff caught in a weird situation did pretty well. The chief and the police officers who were there, you know, did pretty well. I think Henry... poor security guard Henry. He understands certain rules, apparently, including there was a dog. There was a canine, the police canine, that was kind of walking around. Nobody was really attending him. And at least Henry knew that you're not allowed to give commands to the dog.
Right, Russ, This is for public. No, you cannot command any service animal whatsoever. That's a misdemeanor.
If what are you talking about, dude?
Cannot talk to any service animal. Give you.
I didn't talk to the dog.
Not. I'm telling you, your media, online.
What are you talking about, man?
Not direct any service animal commands whatsoever. That's a misdemeanor. Misdemeanor. Leave Lola alone.
Lola's the dog's name.
It's not your dog.
I haven't messed with the dog.
I did not know it was a misdemeanor to try to give instructions to a canine. I'm going to ask Mike about that. It was interesting. That was the one part where Henry did seem to get a little bit animated. So, what's the takeaway from all of this? Sometimes people are troublemakers, and, you know, probably there's going to be a little bit of a review of how we handle incidents at City Hall and security, because had these people had nefarious intent other than just being, you know, jerks, this could have been all kinds of different. But it wasn't, and there you go. 526 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.
Pizza's here.
Oh, great. I'd love some, but I'm worried about my stomach issues.
If you're worried about having diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, or loose, oily stools, it may not just be stomach issues. It could be a condition called exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI. With EPI, the pancreas doesn't release enough enzymes to break down food, but EPI is manageable. Use the symptom checker on identifyepi.com and talk to your doctor. That's identifyepi.com. Sponsored by AbbVie.
Getting quality employees to fill positions in your company is essential, but finding those people can be a major hassle. Unless you use ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter makes finding quality people a breeze. ZipRecruiter's advanced technology identifies candidates with the right skills, sends you great matches, then you can easily invite them to apply. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. See for yourself. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/free to try ZipRecruiter for free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Hi, this is Terrence A. Gross. I've now practiced law for over 44 years. I'm proud to say that my 3 sons are my law partners. We have 5 offices throughout the Panhandle: Pensacola, Milton, Crestview, Fort Walton, and Navarre. If you have been injured due to the negligence of another, call us at 850-434-3333 or visit us on the web at grossandschuster.com.
Get news at the top and bottom of every hour with WEAR-TV, our local news team, and Fox News on News Radio Pensacola.
I just want to tell you both, good luck. We're all counting on you.
Custard pie. Yes, it's going to be all day, at least somewhat all day, because it's Pi Day. Come on, let's all be math people together. 528 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
That's right. I'm in my public news space here headlines.
But anybody can just come in there.
That's right.
Well, you know, we're a private company, so it is a little bit different.
Maybe. House Speaker Mike Johnson says the House will be applying every amount of pressure they can on the Senate to get the bill banning TikTok passed. Of course, the bill was approved yesterday by the House. It could lead to the forced sale or nationwide ban of the social media app. It would require ByteDance to sell the app within 180 days, or it would be banned from U.S. app stores.
Yeah, I thought it was kind of interesting that Ramasmurty, I think is how you say his name, from Illinois, a Democrat, one of the two people, you know, Mike Gallagher was the other one. They said they're not trying to kill TikTok. They just don't want it connected to the Chinese Communist Party.
Right.
They don't mind having TikTok. I might go a little farther than that. But still, you know, the idea is not to be connected to the Chinese. That's the idea. Go ahead, David.
3 men are now facing federal firearm charges in connection to the Kansas City Chiefs Super Bowl parade shooting. Authorities did not accuse the 3 suspects of opening fire in the February shooting, but they say they took part in illegal firearms trafficking and straw purchases of firearms. And SpaceX will be trying again today to launch the latest prototype of its Starship moon rocket. The private space company was issued a license by the FAA for the test flight, which has a launch window starting at 7 o'clock this morning.
All right. Very good, David. Thanks so much for the update. 5:30 here on News Radio 92.3. What else is there going on? Oh, we're talking to Wes Moreno this morning, of course. Shows up at 6:35 here on the show. Mike Wood, the public information officer for PPD, he'll be here at 7:35, and we'll talk to him about this. There's a couple of other things going on that we'll talk with Mike about. So lots of stuff on the agenda today, plus the Santa Rosa County Commission meeting. They're going to talk about flagpoles and also some actually substantial matters.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. Two new Fox News swing state polls are out showing Donald Trump 2 points ahead of President Biden in Pennsylvania, 4 in Arizona.
President Biden's narrow win in Pennsylvania essentially handed him the White House 4 years ago. Now it's former President Donald Trump preferred narrowly 49-47% in this new poll. Like much of the nation, Arizonans see the economy as the most pressing campaign issue, and voters there favor former President Trump to better handle it by 55-41%.
Fox's Grinnell Scott. The death of a non-binary 16-year-old in Oklahoma who died a day after a fight in a high school bathroom last month is ruled a suicidal overdose.
The Oklahoma Medical Examiner's Office says Nex Benedict's probable cause of death was from combined toxicity of two drugs, diphenhydramine and antihistamine, and fluoxetine, a drug often used to treat depression.
Fox's Kristen Goodwin. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 at News Radio 92.3. It is 62 degrees, mostly clear skies right now. The victim in Monday morning's fatal shooting on R Street has now been identified by family members. According to Channel 3, the victim was 31-year-old Edward Mobley. He was shot and killed just days after being released from the Escambia County Jail after serving 10 months for battery and drug charges.
A great brother, a great father, a great uncle. I'm a great son to my mom. Basically, I just want justice. I want the community or whoever knows something to come forward and say something.
Escambia Sheriff's deputies say when they responded to an overdose call, Mobley was found with a gunshot wound to the chest on Monday morning. About 4 hours before that, deputies had responded to a call in the area after a ShotSpotter sensor picked up a gunshot, but they said they didn't find anything at the time. This morning, Santa Rosa County commissioners are discussing the possibility of moving forward with being the host of the largest American flag in the state. The two bids that were unsealed on Tuesday are both north of $300,000 for installation and materials. Earlier this week, the Milton City Council passed a resolution in support of the idea with a 5-2 vote.
I'm patriotic. I always have been. But to spend this kind of money on a flag just seems outrageous to me. And I think we could look at other ways to support our military at Whiting Field.
Councilwoman Marilyn Farrow and Councilman Mike Cusack were against the idea. Commissioners have discussed using tourism tax dollars to cover the cost. However, it's still unknown if the project would be eligible for that funding. Federal attorneys say a Honduran man living in Pensacola was able to fund a lavish lifestyle thanks to a massive immigration fraud scheme. He'll now be spending some time behind bars. 29-year-old Franklin Javier Perez Rios was sentenced to 9 years in prison for defrauding 400 victims out of nearly $2.8 million. Prosecutors say between 2017 and 2023, Perez Rios would falsely claim to provide immigration services to foreign nationals that were living in the U.S., pretending to be either an immigration attorney, paralegal, or a U.S. government official. Well, Congressman Matt Gaetz says he would support a ban on TikTok, but he did vote against the bill that would lead to the forced sale of the app or a nationwide ban. He says his issue had to do with the legislative process.
As is typically the case in the U.S. House of Representatives, we had a bad bill to deal with a real problem. This legislation was overbroad. It dealt with websites. It wasn't even available for amendment.
The bill requires TikTok's parent company, ByteDance, to sell the app or it would be banned from U.S. app stores. It was approved by the House. Now it's moving to the Senate. 534 News Radio 92.3, and let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather forecast.
Good Thursday morning, waking up to a little bit of patchy fog across the area. Temperatures a little bit warmer this morning, too, with low temperatures in the upper 50s to lower 60s. Still a pleasant day ahead. We'll have highs in the middle 70s, mostly cloudy skies, and a small chance for rain. Best chance for rain today really is the further west you go into southwest Alabama, but a few isolated showers possible. Higher chance of rain comes Friday during the second half of the day into Saturday, Sunday. That's your weather forecast. I'm meteorologist Joseph Neubauer here at WEAR News.
Right now, 62 in Pensacola and Gulf Breeze, a little bit cooler, 56 in Milton. Your next news at 6 and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
Are you hungry for news that keeps you informed, is local and dependable? Look no further than News Radio Pensacola on 92.3, 95.3, and on AM 1620. We're your trusted source for all the latest happenings in the Emerald Coast. From breaking news to in-depth reports, we've got you covered. Our team of experienced journalists brings you the stories that matter most to our community. Stay connected with local events, weather updates, and traffic reports, ensuring you're always one step ahead. We're News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
Pinner Credit Union is here for every move-in day to the perfect home, every trip up the coast in the perfect car, for every business door unlocked, every dollar saved for something special, every dream achieved one goal at a time. We're here because Pinner Credit Union has been a part of this community since 1936, and with affordable lending, flexible accounts, easy access, and smart guidance, we're a perfect fit for the way you bank. Join us at pinner.org. You'll fit right in. Insured by NCUA, Equal Housing Lender.
Hi, this is Earl Ron. New South Window knows southern weather is unpredictable, and our Energy Star windows and doors will keep the heat in and the cold outside where it belongs. We prioritize keeping your family and your home comfortable all year round. Energy-efficient products made, installed, and guaranteed for life. Get New South proud.
When you buy more, you can save more. Visit NewSouthWindow.com. New South proud.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. Mornings before Pep Talk on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Original posting hours that kind of caused some of the confusion was sunset to sunrise, which is our normal park situation. The hours will be midnight to 5 a.m. Will be closed midnight to 5 a.m. Excuse me. So 5 a.m. to midnight. Let me say that correctly. Will only be closed from midnight to 5 a.m. There's a couple other minor rule changes just with some of the equipment that could be used. I believe it had said no bicycles. We're changing that. And even though there's not a lot of bicycle use now.
Mayor DC Reeves in his press conference on Tuesday talking about the new rules at the skate park now that they've got the data and also they've got the, they've had time to observe and also they've got the cameras in place. So there's a potential for enforcement. And as you heard him say, you know, the idea is from 5 a.m. to midnight, it'll be open. And also they're going to allow bikes to interact, which concerns me only because historically it is always a challenge to figure out how to safely let bicyclers and skaters interact because, you know, BMX bikes are big, they are fast, they obviously carry a great potential for harming somebody else, and, a loose skateboard can harm somebody too, but it's always an issue at skate parks how to interact those things, so I am a little concerned about what might happen if people start to show up in their bikes, but we talked about that with the mayor. Mr. Mayor, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. Thank you.
You're very welcome. It's always good to have you. Bikes at the skate park? I'm with you on the hours. Makes perfect sense to me, of course, and the fact that they're all cleaning up their own graffiti. Great. All good news, but I'm always a little bit nervous about letting people do their BMX tricks amongst the skateboarders because they are bigger, faster, and far more dangerous.
Yeah, it's a little of a double-edged sword, and I think you remember where we were, which was we had a grand opening with a ribbon cutting with rules that were posted that said no bicycles, and I think there's 50 bicycles behind me in the ribbon cutting.
Right.
So, what we're trying to figure out is it's not what we all individually want, but what's the best way to enforce, and hence the delay, right? Why did we wait, these several months? One, we wanted to kind of see what usage would be like, and two, we wanted some enforceability, which would be the cameras going in, which are now in. There's no metal pegs. I mean, from a damage standpoint, on those bikes allowed, because we don't want that being used. And now with cameras, if your concern becomes a significant issue, then that is something that we'd be able to monitor and prove is becoming a problem, if that makes sense. Whereas before, we've just been saying, hey, the bicycles are closed at sunset, and then we've got lights on all night and bike there anyway. So, we're trying to find that happy medium between what can be enforced that to maximize the use of the park. And so from an hour standpoint, we conferred with PPD and said, hey, when are we seeing problems, if at all? you know, when are these times? And those are, those open and closed times are convenient for people coming in and out on when patrol shift changes and those kinds of things to keep extra eyes on it. So, you know, we're real pleased with where we're at. And again, it's a big credit to the skating community also that taking care of this asset that's theirs, that's important to them. And that, when graffiti hits, someone's out there fixing it. And, you know, I get stories all the time of the older skaters getting out there bright and early and bringing their blowers out there and cleaning it up. And, you know, man, I wish every park was like that, you know, in our city. So, you know, we want to keep it open as long as possible and let people continue to enjoy it. But now we're in a much, much better place to make sure that what rules we are posting there can be enforced.
And also there is something sort of comforting slash entertaining about imagining a whole bunch of people, let's just say older skaters my age, out there on their Schmidt sticks and playing their, you know, their 90 punk rock and enjoying time at 5:30 or 6 o'clock in the morning. There is something about that that's sort of comforting and horrifying all at the same time. And, you know, do we have appropriate medical team standing by for them as well? Hey, switching gears a little bit. Obviously, the Malcolm Young Gym sort of continues to be a challenge, a bit of a bustle, certainly with some people. I have said this, and I don't think I have said it directly to your face, so I'm going to go ahead and say it to your face and get you to respond. Now, you've kind of addressed this, but it seemed to me like we could have waited. It seemed to me like we could have waited a couple of months to see if they got signatures. We didn't have to. I agree with your legal analysis. Adam Cobb's legal analysis didn't have to, but sort of the magnanimous alternative that, you know, doesn't ruin the opportunity for people to dispute this decision. Why not put it off for a month or two? Because it wasn't that urgent, I don't think. But you tell me, why not?
Well, it's very easy explanation, Andrew, is that where does it end? And for example, let's say you're a radio host that doesn't like paying for parking. What stops you to get 10 city residents right now for saying, hey, 10 of us have all agreed that we should ban paid parking in the city. And now, Mayor, you're going to stop charging for parking for 60 days and see if we get the signatures. So at what point does it end? When do the wheels of government have to be paralyzed on what we are permitted to do by the charter? I understand it in its own world, but when do I tell someone that we do that or we don't do that? It's just, in my opinion, it's a pretty large risk to start making interpretations outside of what the charter says allows. Because when does it stop?
Like the challenge here, though,
objective topic do we decide we can or can't do that on?
Okay, I understand that the slippery slope argument carries some weight, but this is an undoable choice, right? The demolition, you can't rebuild it if, you know, there's no fixing this one after. And it wasn't that urgent. I mean, it's been in this condition for quite some time. That's where I keep, you know, I get the argument about, you know, how much do you stop government because a few people complain? It just seems like this was the kind of case where you actually could. And again, I know your leadership style is to, you know, validate and include as much as you possibly can. That's why it struck me as a little bit outside of your normal way of doing things.
Well, if we're going to take it off the interpretation of the charter, then my counter argument to that is that there is no reference in the charter whatsoever that awards of contracts are now susceptible to this. It is, to your point, exactly. It's why the charter says what it says. If this is a rule or an ordinance, that's when this comes into play. This is not on an award of a contract. Imagine if every award of contract, all you needed was 10 people to stop it. I understand what you're saying, but all I'm telling you is that there's nothing that is referred to in the charter that says when we award a contract to Team A, that if 10 people don't like Team A, then you stop it for 60 days. There's nothing that says that. So again, that your question is going off the assumption that awards of contracts are somehow susceptible within the charter, which they just aren't. And you can imagine why they can't be. I mean, awards of contracts cannot be something that 10 people can just stop for 60 days. Those would expire. Then we got to rebid it again. And there's a lot of reasons why we would do that. So yes, I understand that it's a finite, you know, there's finality in that decision. But you know, these are difficult decisions that we have to make. These are ones that we've talked about for months. This is not a sudden thing. This has been a discussion for months and months and months, 4 or 5 meetings. So this is not something that has been a surprise, and you know, we continue to move forward with something to try to solve, hopefully, the housing crisis that we have.
And I find that more persuasive because I agree with you that you couldn't make awards of contracts acceptable, especially because of escalating prices all the time. I can see more of that slice of it, and I appreciate that clarification. We're talking to Mayor D.C. Reeves. You used a word yesterday I had never heard before, a Portland loo, which not to be confused with a Portland
boo.
I wanted to... what are they? And we're going to Bruce Beach, we're going to the skate park, we're going to MLK, we're going to a couple of different places, which, by the way, Bruce Beach is almost done, and from the photos I've seen, looks amazing. But anyway, what is a Portland loo, and where and why? Help me understand.
Yeah, we excited to have them. They actually just landed in Pensacola, the first three. Ultimately, it's a permanent bathroom facility, but what we like about it, as opposed to what you're used to seeing, which is typical cinder block, brick and mortar, you know, something with a roof and a standard roof and standard concrete building. These have been designed to be publicly used in many ways, in terms of how they're clean, in terms of how they operate. The lighting in them also there actually is a deterrent for drug use, as an example, the color, the shade of light that's used in it. So with a lot of the issues that Portland has dealt with, I think that they've figured out another example. There's grading on the bottom, so you can see that there's feet in there and you can see a head if someone's standing up. But so if there were to be crimes committed in there, things like that, there's some ability for law enforcement to have some visibility. So we like this much, much better than your standard building that someone can go in and lock the door, and that causes a lot of issues and concern of safety. And so it's really not a cost savings measure. It's an efficiency and measure and a safety measure to make sure our citizens stay safe. So, we're going to put one at the skate park and one at Bruce Beach and one at MLK Plaza for DIB. That was for their Palo Fox markets. And then we've got a couple, maybe one more, maybe two in the works. We might add a second one in Bruce Beach, as well as we're working with UWF right now on maybe putting one right there at Museum Plaza, right next to Plaza Ferdinand.
Oh, right. Okay.
For their use and for Palo Fox Market's use as well.
How many stalls in each one, or is it just one? And then will the one at MLK, I know you said it's for DIB for the market, does that mean it will be locked for the rest of the time, or will that be open to the public sort of all hours?
Yeah, so to your first question, it's one. It's handicap accessible, needs wind loads, all those things. Again, trust me, when you see the price tag, you know it's about the same as building your own building. But what's nice too is they're modular. So if we see that use is down in one place or up in another place, you can pick it up and move it to another location, you know, with a relatively minimal cost. So we like that modular effect as well. As far as the MLK Plaza, we've left that in the hands of DIB. This is DIB's request, and as I've said to DIB leadership, if we were going to pick our top three or top four locations in terms of traffic and activity, that would not be one of them for us. But remember, previous to me, there was some agreement and a financial partnership with DIB looking to do that. So it's a, hey, if this is something that you know you guys are using your dollars on and this is your request, then you're holding the keys in terms of when they're open. I mean, because at the end of the day, one's going there because of the weekends. So, you know, I would leave that to them when they want that to be open.
Okay, so is the money for that one DIB provided or the city provided?
Yes, it's DIB provided. There was a previous agreement of, putting up money under Mayor Robinson's tenure. So, yes, it ultimately we're managing the project, but it's DIB funding. So,
perfect.
And again, the way I see it is if that's DIB funding and it's for a DIB use, then they should be responsible for when those hours are.
Right, and that fits with your explanation that wouldn't be one of your priorities, but it's their money. They can choose which is a priority to them, which makes sense. We always like to end with a lightning round, the fast questions. First question of the day, which will be our frivolous topic today, so answer wisely. Bacon, apparently dangerous. do you cook bacon until it's crispy, or do you like it a little flappy floppy?
Well, now after listening to you guys on the way to the gym this morning, I'm definitely like as crispy as it gets. But, like I actually had to change the channel. It was grossing me out.
So nasty.
Starting today, like I want it black and as cooked as possible.
No more tapeworm baby's bacon. Okay, good. it's a nasty story, true. When you're pulling into the parking lot at, let's say, the big box retailer or the grocery store or whatever, assuming that it's 90 degrees, are you back in or front in your parking?
Front in. I just feel like it takes too long to back in. I feel like it's not as courteous, but I don't, you know, if I drove a big truck or something, maybe I'd do the back end.
Always
the front end.
And when you bring a banana home from the store, or presumably more than just one, how do you store it?
In a basket with the other fruit that may or may not be ripe, depending.
On the counter. So basically out on the counter at room temperature, not with foil or saran wrapper in the refrigerator.
Yeah, is that the correct way to do it?
I think the refrigerator is the worst idea, but some people are weird. You know, people do their own thing. So, and also, yes, course, some people wrap the stems in foil or saran wrap. There's odd stuff out there. Very good, Mayor D.C. Reeves. Good to find out you're normal like the rest of us. Basket for the fruit. We'll talk to you again next week. As always, thank you so much for the time, sir. I appreciate it.
All right, guys. Appreciate it.
Always. 551 here on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. The advocates of restraining the demolition of Malcolm Young Gym are disagreeing with the mayor's interpretation of the charter, what measure means, and, you know, whether that would or would not apply to a contract. So, you know, nothing here is entirely over other than, as obviously is true, the gym itself no longer exists. So, you know, some of these conversations are a bit moot, but still, the principle for future potential cases, you know, there is relevance going forward. 437-1620, 437-1620. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. If you are thinking about buying or selling a home, trying to decide where to go, who to talk to, or even whether it's a good time, like, you know, are the interest rates going to change? Is the market going to change? You know, what's going on with insurance rates and how does that affect my decision? You know, I was reading an article about condos recently and how, you know, insurance rates are dramatic and the changing legislation is going to change people's interest in having condos in Florida. So lots of different things going on all the time. And you don't want to talk to me about this. This is not my domain. You do want to talk to Christina Leavenworth. It is absolutely her domain. She is an expert in this subject, sold 175 homes last year. She and her team at Leavenworth Realty, they know what they're doing and they can help you figure it out, navigate the terrain, understand the relevant information for you. And she just loves helping people, helping you whether you're dealing with a normal buy or sell situation, help you if you're dealing with a difficult one, like a marriage is ending or, you know, an estate sale or something like that. All kinds of things, whatever you need. Give her a call and talk to her. You'll discover what I did years ago when I first met her. I've known her as long as we've lived here, that she's just, you know, a real sweetheart who knows her stuff. 723-9158 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty.
Tax season is here, and it's time to turn your refund into peace of mind with Jim's Firearms. Jim's Firearms is your go-to destination for top-notch personal protection. You're also going to want to secure your spot for one of their upcoming concealed carry classes. Use your refund wisely and invest in safety. Check out their wide selection online at jimsfirearms.net or visit the store in Pensacola at the corner of Sereno Road and Blue Angel Parkway. Jim's Firearms, protecting what matters most.
Are you a fan of all things Florida? Then the Fresh from Florida Club should be on your menu. Search and save your favorite recipes, create custom menus, and get all your cooking questions answered by me, Florida's culinary ambassador, Chef Justin, for free. It's easy to sign up, and best of all, you'll be supporting Florida's farmers, ranchers, and fishermen. Join today at freshfromflorida.com. A message from the Florida Department of Agriculture and Consumer Services, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this station.
Physical activity can make your life better. Spring is a great time to begin reaching your movement goals. The Florida Department of Health in Santa Rosa County is celebrating National Minority Health Month and promoting breastfeeding for all babies by holding the All Moms, All Babies 1 Mile Color Walk or Run on April 13th. This free family fun event will be held at the Baghdad Mills Site Park beginning at 10 a.m. Call 850-983-5250 to pre-register or for more information, visit health.gov/moveyourway for tips on how to get active.
The Pensacola housing real estate market has been crazy for the past few years.
How do you know when to buy or sell?
You'll need an expert to help you. Tune into the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 9 a.m. right after Pensacola Morning News to hear real estate expert Christina Leavenworth with Leavenworth Realty discuss current real estate conditions. That's today at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. Guy Benson, keeping you informed of the news every day at 2, right after Mark Newfan, Cap'n Robbins, on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
She chopping broccoli. She chopping broccoli. She chopping broccoli.
No, deep in the Beatles archives for you. Too far back. All right. Wild Honey Pie, because it's, you know, March 14th. I'm going to feel like I'm going to have to explain this a lot today. 5:55 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Spence Golden Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, Vice President Kamala Harris will be visiting an abortion clinic in Minneapolis today. She's expected to speak to healthcare providers there and also potentially talk to reporters outside after that visit. The death of a Oklahoma teenager has now been ruled a suicide. According to the Oklahoma State Medical Examiner's Office, 16-year-old Nex Benedict's probable cause of death was the combined toxicity of an antihistamine and antidepressant. The high school student died one day after being involved in a fight in a bathroom at the school's campus. And there have been no reports of injuries after an American Airlines flight had to make an emergency landing in Los Angeles. The plane took off from Dallas-Fort Worth International Airport, landed safely last night, but it's not clear what type of mechanical problem the Boeing 777 experienced, but probably not good news for Boeing.
All right. Thanks so much, David. 5:57 here on News Radio 92.3. Oh, you know, the Scarlett Johansson Saturday Night Live satire of Katie Britt, and a semi-satire of the State of the Union, although they just don't know how to make fun of Democrats. Come ask me, I'll help. So having Scarlett Johansson pitch perfect impression. I mean, as good as, in my opinion, as good as the Sarah Palin, Tina Fey. Like, really, really spot on. And Katie Britt, who, you know, she was on Ted Cruz's podcast, which is Ted Cruz has a podcast. Okay, anyway, she was on Ted Cruz's podcast basically saying, you know, man, when is this story going to go away? Are there not other things in it, you know? But there was another comment that she had that I actually thought was, you know, kind of endearing me to Katie Britt, who I don't know her. But she actually said that it was kind of awesome that Scarlett Johansson was picked to roast her. And she was on the podcast also saying, you know, that how awesome is that? She hadn't had Scarlett Johansson playing me on SNL on her bingo card for 2024. She says, I was actually pretty pumped about it. They bring in somebody from the Avengers to play me in the cold open. I'm here for it. And I guess Ted Cruz said, you know, well, they definitely got somebody hot to play. This is where it goes a little awkward for me, which is, it's true, but maybe if you're Ted Cruz, don't say it. Scarlett Johansson is hot, Ted Cruz said, and I am genuinely jealous because, look, SNL has come after me a bunch of times, and they don't ever have Tom Cruise play me. Because Tom Cruise has got the same last name as... It's a homophone!
Got that right.
5:58 on News Radio 92.3. Somebody's Googling H-O-M-O-P-H. You know that. This is odd little story. It shows up occasionally on social media, and just kind of one of those things that's really neat is the picture is in 1939 in Kansas, wheat mill owners realized that women were using sacks to make clothes for kids. So they started using flowered fabrics for the sacks so that people would have, the kids would have pretty clothes, and the label would wash out, a gesture of pure kindness. True. And not just in Kansas. Very widespread practice of using the sackcloth, literally, to be made out of materials that could then be turned into dresses at a savings for people. Kind of a cool thing.
Listen on air at 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. News Radio 92.3. WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.